With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. An elementary school in Merrill that can't use its drinking fountains, homes on private wells in Oneida County that depend on bottled water for cooking and drinking, and two city wells in Rhinelander still shut down are just a few examples of the impacts PFAS chemicals are having on people's lives in the Northwoods. While there is still a lot to learn about the emerging contaminant, Wisconsin's Green Fire wants to make sure people are educated about the issue. WXPR's Katie Thorson spoke with its executive director about its latest PFAS report.
There's a lot of information out there about PFAS chemicals, and still a lot of gaps in information. Wisconsin's Green Fire executive director, Melissa Johnson's best advice?
First and foremost, become informed.
The organization recently released its second PFAS report. This one's meant to update where PFAS has been found in the state, get the important information out there for people and municipalities that may be needing it, and share its recommendations.
Yes, we have a PFAS problem. There's no question about that. It's not as ubiquitous as we thought. We do know that communities are testing their drinking water, and many of them are not finding detects, which is good. That's great. That's wonderful. So for the most part, we're very happy about that. For those communities that have been impacted, that's a significant impact, and we need to recognize we need to address that as a public health issue.
An October report from the DNR found some level of detection in 71% of the 450 private wells sampled in the state, though the majority were well below the EPA's proposed standard of 4 parts per trillion. Johnson says the lack of groundwater standards and the high cost of PFAS testing for private wells is an inequity. About a quarter of the state's population gets their water from private wells.
We need to create a focus on helping folks in our rural areas primarily who have their own private wells, and we have to find a way to, number one, get that phased in so we can start sampling, but where there's detects, support them by, you know, helping offset the cost of a reverse osmosis system or a granulated activated carbon system, because these things aren't cheap.
Among Wisconsin's Green Fire recommendations is a call for science-based standards, additional funding, and more research into the risks posed by PFAS. We have a link to the full report at WXPR.org. Katie Thorson, WXPR News.
The Lac-Des-Flambeau Town Board is having its lawyers look over the latest offer from the Lac-Des-Flambeau Tribe to resolve road issues. The board met in closed session for more than an hour last night during its town board meeting. As WXPR reported yesterday, the Lac-Des-Flambeau Band of Lake Superior Chippewa says it's owed nearly $10 million for past trespass damages. According to a letter sent to the town chair on Friday, the tribe won't approve any more road permits until it's paid that amount. Right now, the town has been making month-to-month payments to the tribe to keep the roads open. Town Chairman Matt Gaulke says the board didn't take any formal action during its closed session. They do plan to bring the next road payment to the tribe this week, along with a letter.
Many of you have seen or know the letter that was sent to myself and the town from December 1st by President Johnson. That letter and its contents are all under review by our legal counsel.
A couple of people that spoke during public comment expressed frustration at the situation and questioned if the town was capable of handling it.
The town doesn't have the resources to come even remotely close to the financial demands the tribe has made, either for past trespass or for road access across the reservation in the future.
Essentially, I feel entrapped and now I'm being extorted for something I have no idea about.
The road access issue came to a head last January when the tribe barricaded access to 4 roads for several weeks. The roads are on tribal land but give access to private homes. Easements on the roads had been expired for more than a decade. The town board is expected to meet again Wednesday to further discuss the issue. Democratic Governor Tony Evers has vetoed a bill that sought to outlaw gender-affirming care for minors. The veto Wednesday was expected from Evers, who has promised to strike down any proposals from the Republican-controlled state legislature that he believes would harm LGBTQ+ youth. The bill would have outlawed gender-affirming surgeries, which are rare, as well as puberty blockers, hormone treatment, and other related care. Republicans who support the bill argue that gender-affirming care is difficult or impossible to reverse, and that medical opinions on gender-affirming care may change in the future. Gender-affirming care has been available in the United States for more than a decade and is endorsed by major medical associations. Wisconsin's wedding barns face new regulations under a liquor law overhaul bill they fought to kill, but that Governor Tony Evers signed into law over their objections on Wednesday. Wisconsin's craft brewers, large retailers like Quick Trip convenience store franchise, and other producers, wholesalers, and retailers all got behind the proposal that was hammered out in secret the past 5 years, largely between Republican lawmakers and the multi-billion-dollar alcohol industry. The new law affects every level of the state's alcohol industry, governing the licensing, producing, selling, and distribution of beer, wine, and liquor. Holiday stress is a concern for most people, but when you mix in travel plans and chronic health issues, those worries might be elevated. Now is the time to ensure a safe and healthy trip this season, Mike Moen reports.
Whether you're flying to a warmer destination or driving a few hours to a relative's house, Dr. Mary Boylan, president of the American Heart Association's Midwest Region Board of Directors, says preparation is vital for those with a chronic health condition like heart disease or being at risk of stroke. To start, she recommends you check in with your doctor to find out if you're healthy enough to travel. If so, getting the logistics down should be the next priority.
It's really easy to think, oh, I'm just going to fly here or fly there and forget about the details. So if we can take those actual itinerary items off the table and have arranged to have a cart, if we need a cart to get us to our gate, that's a really good step.
Safely transporting medical devices is another priority. Boylan recommends checking with transportation agencies and companies about their policies for storing and screening them. I'm Mike Moen.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.